You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
Here on the program, he's a musician, producer, composer, a teacher. What doesn't this man do? It's Mr. Tava Viri from Tahiti coming through to talk about his new track, Hero A. Good morning to you, Tava. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm fine, thank you.
Did I butcher the last name there, or did I do okay?
Perfect.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fan-bloody-tastic. You're currently based in Tahiti, as you have most of your life. How are things right there at the moment?
They're pretty chilly. It's Thursday, actually, here, because we're one day behind you.
Good point.
It's getting a bit chilly in the air, so that's cool, because we're craving for the cold, and the waves are getting bigger, so I might hit the ocean afterwards.
Nice. Go for a surf.
Yes.
Hell yeah. Awesome. That's cool. Before we get talking about this new song, Hero A, I want to talk about a few things about you, because you're quite a man of many hats, so to speak. You're the founder of the audio production and composition company Third Fish Music. How has 2025 been for Third Fish?
Pretty cool. It's building up. It's actually my 8th year running this studio that I built with my own hands. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing lots of stuff, documentary, film scoring, video games, and other stuff. And projects are getting more and more numerous year after year. So yeah, that's a good thing.
So business is booming.
Not booming, but exactly.
It's steady.
Booming for a Tahiti scale, yeah. So it's a little boom.
You're probably under an NDA, so you can't talk about it very much. But what kind of video games do you compose for? I'm very curious.
It was a local student project, to be fair, but it was really interesting. And the interesting part too was that the creators were really open, so I had a lot of creative freedom. It was a platform 2D platform game.
Oh wow, that's sick. That's awesome. That's so cool. Well, speaking of students, you are a music teacher, and you've spoken about how that has changed your perspective on music. Can you remember what might be the most memorable moment from teaching where your students affected your creative approach? Can you think of a memorable example?
I got everyday examples. they amaze me, like, every day, really. And sometimes I give them, like, simple guidelines to, you know, create the last few exercises we did was create a song that is supposed to represent one of your best friends in the class, and so they bring me their iPad one by one, and then I get to listen to the song. And some of them have never touched a piano or guitar before, but they amaze me at how fast they can, like, take the tool and make it their own and create something really purely original. Mm-hmm. I think the general benefit of this is that they have a really fresh look on things, you know, and really unaffected by any sort of influence. And so it's pure art, I think, that mm-hmm. comes out of their hands, and that's always so refreshing to hear. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of a massive thing with being a young person in general, is that you aren't fully molded, by the society and your taste and your influences quite yet. You know, you're still, like, pretty fresh out of the oven, so to speak.
Yeah. I love to stay in contact with that youth and that fresh spirit. It always keeps me running, you know, intellectually too. Yeah.
Mm. For sure. Now, you've lived in Tahiti most of your life, but you moved to France for a while, and you spent some time in Australia. You're back in Tahiti. You've spoken about the bond of the Polynesian Triangle, of which New Zealand and Hawaii are sort of the biggest members there, and they share a massive, strong cultural bond with Tahiti. Have you visited Hawaii, and how much time have you spent in Aotearoa?
I came to Aotearoa many times because it's probably one of the first closest country from Tahiti. It's only a 6-hour flight. Okay. I think Hawaii is further. So to us, yes, it's very close in terms of proximity, and it's one of the first destinations also we come to when we want to learn English as a young student. So I came to Aotearoa probably more than 12 or 13 times, as a teenager to learn English, and then as an adult to come surf or ski. And I heard they're planning on opening a wave pool in Auckland too, so I might be coming in the next few years too. But and I've always felt a strong bond with the Polynesians that I met over there too. I actually, every time I come, I feel more Polynesian when I'm in Hawaii or in Aotearoa or in Tonga or Samoa than I feel when I'm in Tahiti, you know, because you get to experience the brotherhood with the Polynesians over there. Even in Australia, so I met a lot of Samoans and Tonga and Fiji when I was working in Sydney, and it always felt really warm and comforting to see the look on people's faces change when you tell them you're from Tahiti, and they greet you in their language and stuff. And yeah, it's a really cool feeling.
It's very fraternal, and it seems like there's a lot of solidarity there, you know. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
That's beautiful. I want to touch on the video of this song, because it's full of beautiful imagery of the sea and the critters who live in it. It's got a lot of imagery of Polynesian cosmogony, and it tells a story of the importance of the Pacific Ocean to broader Polynesian identity. I want to know, what does your connection with the ocean look like?
I feel it's very strong, but it's probably the same as every other guy from Tahiti too. You know, we're just the latest news about Tahiti is that we are getting the largest protected oceanic area in the world that has just been decided at the summit in France. Mm-hmm. And our country is like 99% ocean. So you can't avoid this link, you know, with the ocean, this strong bond. And every guy in Tahiti grows up playing in the ocean, whether it's sailing or paddling or surfing or fishing. You know, you always have such a strong relationship with it. And I feel personally that if I don't go in the ocean more than like in less than once a week or twice a week, then I started feeling sick and everything, you know, or dirty, or you know. So it's a need. I need to bathe in the ocean most often as possible.
Cracker. How far is it from your studio?
Oh, it's a 5-minute walk. Oh. I mean, you can't be further than 5 minutes from really, it's really small. I don't know if you know how small Tahiti is.
No, I googled it on Google Maps. It is very small, but I was just wondering.
Always a 10-minute walk away from the ocean wherever you are. That's
absolutely awesome. There's a really fascinating point in the video around the 3:34 second mark, where there's some heads that come up. They're kind of rotating around. It's your head, and then there's a man crawling into a boat and weeping. And I want to know, what does that symbolize from the song?
That part is the morphing part, right? Yeah, the guy slowly turns into a fish afterwards. That kind of came from when we were talking with Nespi, the clip director, who's not Polynesian at all, by the way. He
Mexican,
just
right?
Just a very, very talented. Yeah, he's Mexican, and we bonded over all our mutual love for some music artists over Instagram, and we discussed a lot about Polynesian cosmogony and legends and myth. And I was telling him that in Tahiti and the islands in French Polynesia, the families were attached to one animal, which we call taura. So every big family in Tahiti has a taura, and my taura from my family is the parata shark. It's an oceanic shark. And so I was telling him about that, and then he came up with the idea that the about this young fisherman that that would turn eventually into a shark. Yeah, that's the part you were mentioning.
Wow, that's so awesome. The video is just riddled with moments like that, where there's so much meaning behind everything, like with the Polynesian triangle being in there. Close to the end.
Exactly.
As we mentioned before, it was animated by Eric Cuevas, aka Nesby, who utilizes a low frame rate. The subject matter are kind of formed from janky illustrations and are filled with these really vibrant crayon-esque textures. And the video, as we've talked about, encompasses so much. What did the evolution of the video's story look like? You know, were you quite hands-on with Eric?
We took a lot of time together to discuss Polynesian culture and read a lot of stuff together, actually. Mm-hmm. That's the only part where I really intervened, because he and I agreed that this wouldn't, if we incorporated like a graphic vocabulary coming from the Polynesian culture, that it would need to be authentic, you know, and then it would need to be precise. So we actually spent a lot of time reading together, and he would read stuff and then send it to me for me to help him, guide him through all this material. Mm-hmm. And then once this study part was over, then I just told him, yeah, now you go with it, you know, like I think you're ready to you know everything, you know more than he ended up knowing, more than the average guy here, you know, about the So I think, yeah, now you have all the tools you need. And I trusted him blindly to do a great work. I've been a huge fan of his work from the moment I met him online, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's definitely my favorite music video I've seen all year. So, you know, Carpi, massive Carpi to you and Eric for making such a beautiful piece of work. Do you have a project dropping in 2025? Is Hero A a sign of more things to come?
It is. I'm not sure, though, that it's going to happen in 2025. I still have a lot of other projects going on. Mm-hmm. I founded a traditional dance group with my wife about 5-6 years ago, and there's been a representation last year. I need to record the songs that were taken from this show, so that's going to be the next part of the year. Mm-hmm. And then I have a documentary project also coming from the end of the year. So I think 2025 is pretty locked up, and I want to be able to produce anything more on my own name, in my own name. Mm-hmm. Definitely I want to record an album, and probably 2026 this album is going to see the day of light. Yeah,
nice. Mm-hmm. It's a long term project. It's very long term.
Yeah, it's a long term project. I kind of had to, it's difficult to dedicate myself entirely to it here, because I still have my teaching job too, and I have a lot of things going on. So it's one project among other several projects. Yeah,
yeah. Take it easy, man, because you don't want to burn yourself out. I know I've known too many musicians who do that. I want to thank you for coming on the program and joining me to talk about this new beautiful song. Thank you very much. Do you have any final words for our listeners out there?
Just a big hugs from Tahiti to everybody who's listening, and shout out to my friend Vatea, who is doing the bass on the song and who's living in France right now. So I haven't seen him in a while, and if he listens to this, then Vatea.
beautiful. Well, thank you for coming on, man, and go enjoy that ocean. Go take a surf.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Anytime. Take care. That was Teva Viari. We're talking to him about his new track, Hiro E, which we're going to play for you very shortly, and then we'll have a corridor with ads at 9:30. You're listening to The One. Keep it locked.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.